Now here is our pastor, Pastor C.O. Sanscliffe, presenting a message from the pulpit entitled, The Second Coming. Now, Pastor Sanscliffe.
How many comings are there in the second coming of the Lord? You're familiar with the various teachings, to a certain extent you are at least. I remind you that we are the most fortunate generation of all human history. We're living on the verge of the greatest event of all known history. The first coming of Christ was a tremendous event. The flood was tremendous. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and many other events in past history have been tremendous, but they have been nothing to compare to the event that we now are going to witness, and according to Bible prophecy, is right in the immediate future. The literal, actual coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as revealed and stated in the Scriptures. Now, there is this, it's not actually a controversy, but there are these different teachings. One teaching is that we as born-again believers will be caught away. We will be raptured before the time known as the Great Tribulation. Then some of us believe that we have passed through the tribulation of the church. We believe we're now in the time spoken of by Christ and the prophets as the time for distress of nations and trouble for nations. And this expression, which is used so often, the Great Tribulation, that expression is not found in the Scripture. The Scriptures speak of great tribulation for the church. And the Apostle Paul made it plain in all of his writings, and so did the Christ, that the Christian church would go through tribulation throughout its entire history. And so it has. It has been great tribulation. Now, we are in the time of distress of nations. Trouble for nations. And we who preach and teach the gospel of the kingdom, we can appreciate and understand this perhaps a little better than the people that believe the Jewish people are the Israel people of the Bible. We believe that the kingdom of God has been ushered in, that is, the physical and material things of the kingdom are moving in upon us, this great kingdom nation. Now, we expect tribulation, and we are aware that right now we are in the time of Jacob's trouble, and we are now in the time known in the Scripture as the Day of the Lord. Now, I'm rather inclined to see it this way, that Christ comes in one coming, and at that coming, we go to meet Christ, and he continues, and we'll go into Scripture on this, he continues to come to set up his rule, and we rule with him. Now, that's our position, that's my position. Until I see something in the Scripture that might change that position. Now, as I've stated before, when it comes to prophecy for the future, we must realize that it's almost impossible for us as human beings, in fact, it is impossible, for us to get a full, complete understanding of what's actually going to happen out in the future. And Bible prophecy was not given so much that we might predict the future, but that we might understand the day in which we were living. That's the purpose of Bible prophecy. Now, that's what the Apostle Peter said. He said it was the light and it's the only light. Now, it's due to fulfilled Bible prophecy that we today have light on our day. And without Bible prophecy, what would you go for light? There's so many scriptures pertaining to the second coming that if we should miss two or three or half a dozen of these scriptures, we wouldn't have a complete picture. Now, by the way of review, let me call your attention to some of the things quickly. I call your attention to Matthew 25:46, for instance, when Christ said, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Now, the coming here that he talks about in the context is the coming of destruction, similar to the time of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the context. That's the setting. And then in connection with this prophecy, Christ said, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Then we call your attention to Malachi 4. And I just want to read a verse in this chapter. We went over that. But in the third verse, I read this: "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day." In the day, in the same time, in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now do what? Well, in order to find out what he's talking about, you go back to verse 1. It says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth." Now, it doesn't say you're going to go up. He says you're going to go forth, and this is what you're going to do: "And grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked in the day that I do what I talked about in verse 1, which was the destruction of the wicked. Now, this doesn't do away with the rapture of the church. We believe in the rapture of the church, certainly. But it does do away with this period known as the Great Tribulation, when some great Antichrist is supposed to come and rule the world, and the Christians have to be taken out because that's the only way God can protect them. It does away with that idea. But it doesn't do away with the rapture of the church, as set forth by the Apostle Paul. Now we'll go to Isaiah. And in the study of Bible prophecy, it's well to do with Bible prophecy as you do with any other doctrine, and that is to get your setting and get an understanding from the old scriptures, because there is nothing in the new scriptures that contradicts the old scripture. And you must have both the prophecies from the new and the old scripture to have a complete picture and a setting and an understanding. So we read from Isaiah 30. "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold." Now, thank God it doesn't say the heat of the sun. It says the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. "And the day, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound." Now, this is what God's going to do. God is going to heal the breach. And there are plenty of breaches today, aren't there? Plenty of breaks all over in every department of our life. Now, God's going to heal all of these breaks. Yes, he will. You just have faith. You just have patience. You trust God. He's going to heal them. And he's going to bind up the breaches, and he's going to heal the stroke. Now, this is what's going to come to the wicked. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. Now, we just can't imagine anything like that today. Our entire life, as Christian people, in this generation, our entire lives have been lived more or less in frustration. We've seen the wicked prosper and flourish and grow and take over just on every hand. And, you know, people have gotten so accustomed to this and so resigned to this, and unless you read Bible prophecy, you will, they get so accustomed and so resigned to this, they think, well, this is what's going to be. No, my friend, there's going to be a sudden, dreadful, terrifying manifestation of God's power and God's presence. And we're moving into that period very rapidly. Now, he's going to come, and his lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations. Now, note this is nations. And actually, as we come up to this period, the scripture deals mostly with nations. Christ in his kingdom parables, you remember? He dealt with nations. Now, in the first three chapters of the Revelation, and mind you, the first three chapters of the Revelation, John dealt with the church. And the last church was the Laodicean church. And he says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And actually, as we come up to the time of the judgment, as a nation, I imagine we're going to fare better than the church. In Matthew 25, in the judgment of the nations were told, come ye blessed of my Father, go into the kingdom. In the judgment of the church, we're told in Revelation, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I'm through with you. You're cold. You're dead. Now let's go on here in Isaiah 30. He's going to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. That means when you sift something, you separate them, don't you? You separate something. Some of you remember the old fanning mill. We had sieves. We'd put in the sieves in the old fanning mill. Depending on what particular grain you were going to put through the mill. So he's going to separate the nations. And you can see that. The nations are being separated. We have the sheep nations. We have the nations of freedom. We have the nations of oppression and bondage and cruelty. So this is going on with the sin of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. Now that's happening undoubtedly and very clearly in the nations of communism and heathendom. Now, look at the contrast here. This is very similar to Malachi's prophecy. And after we get some scripture from the old scripture, we'll go to the new scripture. Verse 29. Ye shall have a song as in the night. Now, it's night, but bless God, we can have a song. Yes, we can. And if you believe, if you understand, if you know, you can have a song. You can be singing. Because we're on the verge of the greatest manifestation from heaven that this world has ever seen. So, we can have a song, as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe, to come into the church, no, into the mountain of the Lord. What are you going to do? Well, you're going to have a song. Why? Because you're going into the kingdom age. You're going right into the kingdom age. Now, what's going to happen to the wicked? Well, I just read it in verse 28 and verse 27. And the Lord shall cause, and this will take care of a lot of difficulties in our nation. You say, do you believe this to be literal? Yes, I do. God spoke several times in Bible history, and in the Gospels, God spoke with an audible voice from the heavens. He did, and he can do it again. Now imagine what that'll do. Imagine what that'll take care of. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm. That's God's intervention, God's power. That's what his arm symbolizes. With the indignation of his anger, and with flames of devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstone. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian, that's the Bible name, for the enemies of Israel. That's what it is. It's the Bible name for the enemies of the kingdom of God. Our enemies within and without. They're going to be broken. They'll be beaten down with smoke, with the rod. And that rod is interesting, too, because that reminds us of Isaiah, the tenth chapter, where it says we're going to come under the rod after the manner of Egypt. What's the rod? What's the rod today? Well, you ask most any man, any family man, any businessman, any man involved in politics or anything else. He'll tell you the rod is the economic money system or the Babylonian money system. Well, that's going to be broken too. Now let's turn to Isaiah 33. Now, I'm not trying to prove something. I'm trying to get light. Now, this period, and I've not believed this for many years, that there was going to be a 3.5-year period or a 7-year period when some Antichrist is going to take over. Thank God the Antichrist is on the way out. They're just about ready to be exterminated. Sure they are. They've built the scaffold and they're going to be hung. They've dug the pit and they're going into it. Now let's look at the 33rd chapter of Isaiah. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. And this day, in the day which we live, we need to hear a great deal about what God has done. And we hear very little about it. We hear a great deal about what the enemy has done and what they threaten to do and what they can do. Now that's all right. That's necessary. And thank God for the men that are doing it. But somebody should be telling them about what God has done. So he said, hear what I have done, and ye that are near acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Sinners in Zion, and we got plenty of them. These antichrists. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites, and we have a lot of hypocrites. Now these are sinners and hypocrites toward the nation. It's Zion. Sinners and hypocrites toward the nation. Now note this. You say, well, there are sinners and hypocrites in the church too. Yes, but that isn't what Isaiah is talking about. He's talking about the sinners and the hypocrites in Zion. Now this is what they say. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Now that's what I read over in the 30th chapter, you remember? We read that God was coming with fire. And that's what you read in the Psalms, Psalm 69, and again in the Psalms. Fact of the matter is, the Bible makes it very plain that this time God is going to cleanse the earth by using fire. The fire of God's glory, the fire of God's presence. Perhaps atomic fire, nuclear fire, I don't know, literal fire. I know there are a lot of things that need to be burned up, especially a lot of books. A lot of magazines that need to be burned up. I expect to see the day when trucks drive up to these great public libraries and the newsstands and men go in there and just pick everything up. Just pick everything up. And just take it out the dump and burn it. Now that happened during the days of Paul. Why can't it happen today? Well, it will. Let's believe for it. Let's rejoice in the fact that this is coming. This burning is coming. And like Malachi said, this thing that'll burn up and turn the wicked to ashes, that isn't going to hurt you. No. It's going to inspire you, strengthen you, and heal you, invigorate you, and make you leap like a cat. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It has one effect upon the righteous, those that are in tune with the Lord, and it has another effect upon negative people. You have the positive and the negative, and you get the two together, and brother, you have sparks. Well, here you have the power of God coming, and they say, it's going to burn us up. We're being consumed. We're being torn to pieces, the inside, and they will. This is the devouring fire. And they say, now, who's going to dwell? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning, that is, age-long burning? Well, the answer is very plain in the next verse, and the next verse makes it very plain. This isn't something that goes into the church. This is something that goes into Zion. This is something that comes to the nation. Well, the answer is, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hand from holding a bribe, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. What is it? Well, it's simply this. People that live according to kingdom principles, kingdom standards, kingdom ideals, these people, and thank God there are millions of good Americans, millions of good Americans that live just this way. They do. They do. Now what's it going to do for them? Is it going to burn them up, consume them, and devour them? No. It's going to be, as Micah said, it's going to be an anointing and a revelation. It's going to be a quickening of their minds, a quickening of their bodies, a quickening of their spirits, and a transformation of the whole nation. Now, it's the hypocrites and the sinners that are going to burn, be consumed. Then he says, he, people he referred to in verse 15, he shall dwell on high. Now that simply means, doesn't mean that he's going to fly off to heaven. Now, we have no objection of flying off to heaven. You know, that's all right, that's fine, that's wonderful. God's throne is in heaven. God is in heaven. Christ went to heaven. Christ is coming from heaven. Our inheritance is in heaven. And our new bodies are in heaven. Thank God for heaven. Certainly. Thank God for heaven. but this idea that God must rapture us to heaven in order to protect us when he destroys the wicked, well, I don't see it in the scripture. I don't see it. Because this fire, this power in the Spirit of God that's coming isn't going to hurt the believer. No, it isn't going to hurt millions of these good people. It's a sinner and a hypocrite. The Antichrist. And I kind of think a lot of them feel like it's getting pretty hot already. Yes, they do. A lot of them think it's getting plenty warm. And it is getting hot. Now, how about this other person? Verse 15. He shall dwell on high. It means he's going to be exalted. In Psalm 72, it speaks of the kingdom age. And in Psalm 72, it says, the righteous shall flourish like the grass. They're just going to flourish all over. You're going to see these righteous people, these good people, these decent people, you know, these good people. You're just going to see them flourish. They're just going to take over. Everything is going to go their way, and they'll have control of everything from the White House down. Amen. And so well, Psalm 92 says, The brutish man doesn't understand this. But he says, when the wicked flourish as the grass, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Well, brother, are they flourishing now? I will say, what does it mean? They're going to be destroyed forever.